Almighty Lord, saints and angels on the throne,
I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus.
Only Jesus.
You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, and I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, and I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus.
Praise the Lord and welcome back. I'm glad you're still with us, and I give God praise again. Once again, we're now going to look at Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13, 14, and 15. It says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. And as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred that more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." It says in the Amplified, for the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face, his whole appearance was marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of man. But just as many were astonished at him, it says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them they shall see, and that which had not heard shall they consider. Isaiah was again, got the word of God concerning the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, servant of God. And he was penning this. And so at the crucifixion of Jesus, he looked like every other criminal. He died as a criminal. And so one of the thieves said to him, "If you be who you say you are, you know, get yourself down and get us down too." The other one said, "Don't you know that this is a righteous man?" He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today's called Tuesday. If it was Thursday or Friday, you could use whatever day." He said, "Today is called Tuesday. And I guarantee you that today being called Tuesday, you shall be with me in paradise." That's what he said to him. And the people that stood by jeered, mocked. The centurion was astonished that he died so quickly. There was darkness over the land for several hours. And in that darkness, the light that God shone on this man so that demons, principalities and power, spiritual wickedness in all these places, they witnessed the form of him. Remember, when Adam became sin, Adam did not possess resurrection life. Jesus made a statement. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Adam was not the Word made flesh. God formed him of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But Jesus, who was the Word of God, and let me go to the book of Luke so that we can see this clearly. Luke chapter 1, the act of this conception, the act of what God did that was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive a child. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, we see here that Jesus, the angel, comes to Mary and says this, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of God, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, means salvation, the one who will save his people from their sins. Now, the Isaiah said that the one that is to come, his name shall be called Emmanuel. That means God with us. We're going to see how this ties into, to make it just simple and clear. He said, verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How? Not that it can't be, but how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel, she's not intimate. She has not went in, or Joseph had not consummated the marriage yet. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overflow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, holy thing, remember, he didn't know sin. He was born of the seed of God's word. He started off just like every human being, a seed in a mother's womb that comes 9 month term to life. So God, the word, concealed himself as a seed, the word, a mustard seed, a small little seed that would become Jesus, Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the word. Now watch this now. It says, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow. And the Holy Spirit carrying the Father's word is going to cause there to be a conception. So God did not use her eggs. He did not use any human aid in causing this to be. Now we're going to see how this thing is going to happen now. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37. He says now, in verse 37, I'm going to read it for you in the Amplified Bible. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. In other words, if God spoke something a gazillion years ago that's a seed, and it's planted, the power in it to do a gazillion years ago, if you have that same seed and you plant it today, it shall also do what it did a gazillion years ago, because it is the same seed of the same substance carrying the same germ. It's carrying the same thing, the same power in seed form. And he says, for with God, nothing shall be in the King James, shall be impossible. Now, so now he said the Holy Ghost, the holy thing, what he's going to be called. And now, this is Mary now. And Mary said, behold, here I am, the handmaid of the Lord, for be it unto me. This is now the word of God that was preached by the angel in verse 35 and of the same book. When she asked the question before that, how could this be? So verse 35 now is about to be fulfilled. And Mary said, see, when the word of God is preached or taught, it's what you say. It's adding, mixing your faith with the word of God. And that's how you plant the seed. Now watch this now. Hey, Jesus, he says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And look at verse 39. And Mary arose. The angel came, say that evening. Mary arose the next day and went into the hill country with haste into a city called City of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard, my God, hey God, when she heard the greeting, the salutation of Mary, glory to God, the babe John leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Between the time when the angel left, after Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. In that time period, because when she goes now to Elizabeth's home the next day, she is impregnated with the word of God. She is impregnated with the Son of God. So now if we would say, if you would dare say, see, it's, you see, we don't, we seem to get this thing mixed up. You don't harvest seed, you harvest fruit. The Bible says the kingdom, it said the kingdom, it's like a mustard seed that a man planted, and he went to bed, he went to sleep, he woke up day and night, and he didn't know, you know, what took place, but all of a sudden now he sees a ear, a blade, a full corn in the stalk. And he said, when the harvest has come, then he puts in the sickle. Glory to God. And so Jesus now teaching them, this is found in Mark chapter 4, and then in Mark chapter 10, he said, you must receive the kingdom as a little child. You see, many of us are trying to receive the kingdom as this great giant. He said, you must receive the kingdom as a little child. Let me give you another word. You must receive the kingdom like a seed. That's the little child. Before you can take that child out, the child comes out of the mother's belly. Before that child comes out, she received the child as a seed. That's the simplicity. That's what the Father desires us to do, so that we can receive the kingdom as a little child, as a seed. Okay? Glory to God. So we see here that the seed of the woman that took place, the moment she said, be it unto me according to your word, conception took place. The Holy Spirit overshadowed. The Bible says in John chapter 3, we taught you on that before, the wind bloweth where it listed, and no one knows. He says, so it is everyone born of God. Jesus, Jesus was born of God. The wind, the Holy Spirit blew on her when she said, be it unto me. There was a joining between human words, spirit words, because you couldn't see what she said. You just heard it. And the word of God, the Spirit. And conception took place in her physical womb. Glory to God. So if we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 52, but I want to make a quick stop. Genesis chapter 3. We read it the other day. We read this thing the other day. And so that we get an even clearer understanding of what God, when God promises a thing, it may take thousands of years, but it's to the one who finds a thing. And so in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He says, and between thy seed and her seed, the two kinds of seed, the seed of God and the seed of Satan. He said, the seed, glory to God. He says, it, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, the head of the serpent, that earthworm. Because, see, snakes eat, they can eat animals. But God, when he cursed this serpent, he said, dust shall you eat all the days of your life. So this serpent, who was cursed to eat dust, an earthworm eats dust and it eats dirt. He said it ate, it cursed the ground so that this worm would eat the curse and it would perpetuate the curse upon itself, and it couldn't stop anymore because he spoke directly to the nature of this thing. And he said the seed of the woman, glory to God. Every woman on these airways that hear my voice, you should begin to shout. You should begin to give God praise, because it was the seed of the woman. You see, Paul made it clear. He said, a woman shall be saved in her childbearing, in the conception of seed. And see, God made it clear. He said, it's the seed of the woman that's going to crush your head. Your head is Satan, earthworm. And you, Satan, through your seed, through Pilate and the Sanhedrin and the high priest, he said, they shall bruise his heel. They will be complicit in the crucifixion. But this, see, is of me. It's my plan, says the Father. It's not man's plan. There's no if. There's no what could have been. There's no what if this happened. It is God, my Father's plan. A plan that perfection doesn't do it justice. He said the seed of the woman. Every woman, I want to say this to you. When the Godhead made that declaration, and it was thousands of years, Isaiah comes now and clarifies it just a little bit more. And then the angel comes to the woman that God's, he spoke to Mary from before she was born. Glory to God. He saw Mary before she was born. He knew Mary before she was born. He knew you and I before we were born. And he said the seed of this woman. The seed of this woman. It wasn't that God borrowed some of her ovaries and ovary and egg and impregnated. No, 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 no. It's see the seed of the woman is the mustard seed. It's the word of God. And God's word must germinate. It doesn't know inertness. The only way the word of God can become inert is if you keep it out of your mouth. The mouth, oh, glory to God. The tongue is the mixer, glory to God. It's the mixing point where you mix God's word with your faith. Let me say it again. The mouth is the place. The tongue is the mixer where you mix God's word with your faith. Let me say it to you again. The mouth is the place. The tongue is the mixer that mixes God's word with your faith. And when it's mixed, there's no formula. It's simple. When it's mixed, there's conception. There's conception. And so the seed of the woman was the emancipation of every woman, because God made it clear. And the day that he made them, the day that he birthed them, the day that he formed them, the day he blessed them. Not him, them. And so the woman who is the brings the ire of Satan and the seed and her offspring. See, her offspring is the seed, is the seed of promise. And everyone born of God is born from above. The Bible declares that New Jerusalem, book of Galatians, New Jerusalem, which is above, is our mother. We were born from above, conceived in God. When you said yes to Jesus, conception took place and you are born a son of God. Sin completely removed. God backdated your sin to the cross. See, I often say it this way. My life, I don't know a life before the cross. My life began at the cross. I'm not staying at the cross. My life began at the cross. That's when my life, he identified so much with me that I became him. I identified with him. When he took on flesh, he identified with me. But when he took me on and you on and the entire world on of mankind, then we were identified with him. Our lives began there. And when we were separated from God, our lives, the price, the judgment, the legal payment. Remember, salvation is not a feeling. It's not a hope. It's not even a luck thing or a chance thing. Salvation, just like sin, is a legal act, which has a legal punishment and or blessing. And so the woman, you see, it was her seed. So every woman, Jesus, when this woman gave birth to this holy thing, you see, here's how it works. When she gave birth, he now has become Emmanuel. When he would give his life, see, then he's Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sins. So God created a name. Because remember, in heaven, he is the Word of God. Because written on his thigh in letters. So, hey, God, so glorious. That every tongue, every eye, everyone understands it and knows it. He says the Word of God. He is forever branded in heaven, the Word of God. But God had to bring together and put together J-E-S-U-S, five letters. In his name is the word us. He had us in mind. I'm telling you the joy. I'm telling you the delight. He endured, he prayed, Father, strengthen me with love to be able to become them so that we might win them and love them the way you love me. And so the seed of the woman is the word of God. Can you see that? The seed of the woman is the word of God. And so the word of God, the seed of God in this woman, sanctify. How could you carry the holy thing and not be holy? Hey, if the seed is growing in you, when it bears fruit, when it comes to bearing fruit, the seed of holiness is in you. If God is in you, if God would hide himself, conceal himself in a womb for 9 months and still yet be on the throne, still yet, that's the power. And Paul makes it so simple. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God, see, he can't come as God, but he can come as a seed. Because remember, he exalted his word above his name. So after he gave life to the original man, he could not violate his word to do it again. So the only legal way he could come into the earth is by what the parameters of which he set. Man should multiply and reproduce. So it was by reproduction that God would have to come. So the, oh my God, the wisdom of my father, I'm telling you, he could condense the word. He looked to the word. That's why the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. You see, he looked to the word and he said, word. Word said, yes, Father. he said, who will go for us? And he said, I'll go, Father. And he said, I make an everlasting covenant with you that if you go, son, I give you power to lay your life down. And I give you power to raise it back up again. You could tell them what you are and not lie. That you are the resurrection and the life, because you're the epicenter of everything that was made. You are the word. And he said, yes, Father, prepare me a body. Glory to God. These things, these counsels took place before God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This was already done before God began it with the law of creation to create in the world, the law of faith, the law of seed, time, harvest. Before seed plus time equals harvest, before all of this, before God could give dominion to man and say, hey, subdue, replenish, multiply, reproduce after your kind. Remember, the genius of God. He made you and I in his image. That's what gives him the right to enter the realm of spirit in a human being and conceive the word of God. Conception in your spirit of the word of God is faith. Let me say it again. Conception of the word of God in the human reborn, the born again, the new creation spirit, is faith. It's a substance, isn't it? Just like Mary said, be it unto me according. It was the substance that took on form and it looked like flesh. So that's why when Satan now comes to Jesus, you see, he knows what flesh smells like. He knows what flesh looks like because he's the father of all fallen flesh. And he comes to Jesus and there is an aroma, there is a glow, there is a different sense of atmosphere around this man. And he says, you are not like everyone else. What are you doing here? That's why he comes up with this strategy. If you be the Son of God, Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And I love the way the Lord answered the question that was posed to him. And in a state where he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, going through all manner of temptation. There's no temptation such as common to man. Every temptation that every and all human beings can ever go through in those 40 days and 40 nights, and the temptations that are not registered in the Bible, trust the word of God. Jesus was tempted for every human being with every temptation in Satan's arsenal. But this is what he said now. This is what the Lord said. He said, the Father has said. The Father said. And it's written. See, when we say it's written, we look to what, you know, Moses wrote in the law, because there was no New Testament written at that time. But this is how Jesus said it. He said this way. He said, it is written in heaven. Remember where you fell from. It is written in heaven. Remember where you were cast out from. It is written in heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because man is a spirit designed to partake of spirit food. That's why Jesus had to go back to the Father as the life-giving spirit. The Bible is clear that Adam was a living soul. Adam was a living spirit. But Jesus, Jesus is a life-giving spirit. He possesses all life. There is no other life outside of him. Glory to God. And so this seed of this woman, this seed that is born completely of God, the seed of the woman restored the woman. It emancipated her. And so that the woman now could be brought back onto terms where she could be, as God said in the beginning, and he blessed them. And he blessed them. See, every woman can understand that has ever had a child, the process of conception. And if we could just get that understanding in terms of the process of the kingdom, the process of confessing the word of God, the process of reading the word out loud to yourself. Again, we don't need another great man or woman of God. We need the great God who has hidden himself in his word to make his appearance known. The Bible is clear. The last move is where the knowledge, hear this now, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, if you go to the seabed, I think the deepest place is in the Pacific someplace, in a trench there. It's about a mile plus deep. Imagine the knowledge of God's glory a mile high covering the earth. Imagine a plane flying through the air. It would encounter God's word, the knowledge of the glory, the broadcast of the glory. No more interference from the principalities and powers. This is the call of God's sons to cause the earth and the knowledge of the glory of the Father, the knowledge of the glory of the Son. And though he doesn't seek any, but the knowledge of the glory of the Holy Spirit. See, if the knowledge of the glory is to cover, that means every airwave, every television screen must be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. I pray the inspiring power of seed that it might inspire some of you on this radio station to say, you know what, I'm going to seed to the buying up of airwaves and television waves and begin to put the true knowledge of the glory of God. Jesus is coming. Glory to God. Jesus is returning. It has nothing to do with whether or not you believe it or not. It's like the sun set in the sky. Whether you believe it's there or not, it's going to rise in the east and it's going to set in the west. Whether you believe it or not, some people believe the earth is flat. Whether you believe it or not, the earth is round. Glory to God. And so it's about the knowledge of his glory, the knowledge of his son. Glory to God. And I want to just read this. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. Because again, so many are so confused about the church and their experience. See, if you've had a negative experience from man, then why would you take it out on God? God did not say, because you are hurt by man, you are disappointed by man, you should neglect or reject fellowshipping with me. God determined it. You know, he designed it that just like how we fellowship to go to movies and theater and go out to eat, there's a fellowship of the Spirit. God loves, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, the last chapter, it speaks about the last verse, the fellowship, the love of God, the grace of Jesus, but the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Why do we blame God for what some human being did that quite possibly didn't know him the way they thought they knew him? Why would we reject fellowshipping? I'm not talking about denomination. I'm saying, why would we neglect fellowshipping with him? Jesus made this thing very clear. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, be careful what you hear. Be careful. In other words, be careful what you're hearing, what you're sitting in. Because if you're hearing something that's wrong, after a while, faith comes by hearing, just like fear comes by hearing. If you watch television, for example, most of it, if not all of it, and you begin to say what you hear on television, you would go out and try every new drug. You would be depressed. You would want to curse somebody out. You would have no good news to tell anybody. And so, again, if you desire power from God, begin to speak good news first to yourself. Philemon, verse 6, one chapter, verse 6. It literally tells you to discover and say the good things that God put in you. Begin to speak good about you by the word of God. Not some nonsense that you're making up, but begin to speak good about you according to the word of God. In other words, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My Father has great delight in me. I am my Father's son. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My Father has set his affection, his love upon me. He has never left me nor forsaken me. He can't deny himself in me. He is the faithful one toward me. See, I just quoted some good things. He has hidden the seed of his kingdom in me. He says, there's no need, there's no want, there's no lack. Hallelujah. Because he dwells in me. There's a river of life flowing in me because he has moved the location of heaven to me. He dwells in my spirit now. The river of life flows through me. That's why out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Hallelujah. See, that's good stuff in me. That's good stuff in you. Begin to say what your Father says and no more. Because again, Satan has trained the world. He has trained the world in his language. As I said, I don't remember if I said it here, but the other day when we were in North Carolina last a week or so ago, and a woman comes and I'm standing by a glass receptacle that has bread in it, and she's coming for breakfast. And so I'm standing there warming up some coffee, and she comes to me. She says, Can I steal a piece of bread? I said, no, you can't steal that. It's yours. Why would you steal what's yours? That makes no sense. And she said, okay, I see what you mean. You see, Satan has trained us. Another one, common one, is I love you to death. No. I can't love you to death. I love you to life. I love the fact that God, the potential saved, the unsaved, is life. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. So be careful. Be careful of what you hear. Because, see, it doesn't have any effect until you speak it. Because if you're born again, if you are a son of God, you have the very authority of God. It says, again, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3. It says here, verse 1, it said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner, the love slave of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Just as Jesus was a slave, just like Jesus was a prisoner. See, Paul was not the prisoner of Rome. He was not the prisoner of the Sanhedrin. He was not the prisoner of the Jewish council. He was not the prisoner of any local authority. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So no matter what the Lord desired for him to do, he would do it willingly because he was a prisoner. He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. In other words, God has given me a dispensation of grace to give to you. Hallelujah. The unmerited favor of God, but not just that, but the power of God enabling you to do the will of God. That's what grace is. Not just God's willingness, but the power to execute his willingness. Watch this now. He says, how that by revelation he might have made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, holy prophets by the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles, this is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. This is the promise. This is the promise. This is the promise that by this promise, that if you would accept Jesus Christ, that you would inherit the seed and the divine nature of God, the same divine nature that entered into Mary's womb, called Word, called Emmanuel, that we call now Jesus, that same promise of eternal life shall enter into you, and you will no longer be called Basil. You will no longer be called you. You shall be called Christ. The promise made to Abraham, which is the Holy Spirit coming and living in you. Yes. That's the promise. God, my Father, think about this. You who were dead, I who was dead in trespasses and sins, I who was a son of Satan by default through Adam's sin. He said, I have not only been delivered from him. It's one thing to take him out, to remove him from you. It's another thing to bring him to naught and to take all of his authority and his power that he wielded, that was given to him by Adam, the first Adam. It's one thing to take all that away from him, to strip him down bare naked. But then it's another thing to publicly humiliate him. Then it's another thing to destroy him who had the power of death. Then it's another thing now to put the divine nature of God Almighty in that which was dead and make you alive with Christ as much as he is alive. Now that's good news. Now that's good news. Let me get back to this. Hallelujah. He says, verse 7, he says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working. Here we go again. The effectual working of his power. See, when you begin to confess the word of God, that God, your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, effectively works in you, and it is his power enabling you to do his will, then you're maximizing the grace. There's an account in Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, where Paul is assaulted every place he goes by this messenger of Satan, a demonic apostle. Let me say it again. A messenger of Satan. The word messenger means apostolic. So it was a messenger, a demonic messenger, a demonic apostle that was sent to buffet Paul. It had nothing to do with his sickness, his illnesses, or anything else like that. And so Paul, because he actually was so identified with Jesus, just like he said in verse 1, that he was a prisoner, a love slave of the Lord, that Jesus was a love slave of the Father. He so identified that Jesus prayed 3 times in the prayer of dedication in Gethsemane before he went to the cross. And so Paul seeks the Lord 3 times. First time he said, take this thing from me. He said, take this thing from me. This person is coming. Every time he comes, he stirs the people and causes all kind of things to come at me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He prayed a second time. And he's asking for help, genuinely. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He asked a third time. The third time, the Father said, my grace is sufficient for you. I perfect strength in your weakness. Get to talking. Get to speaking. And the third time, remember, Peter, God let down the sheet three times to convince him. So there are times even the great apostles, the great prophets, the great men and women of God, God has to speak to you more than once to get you to see what he's saying. Let me say it again. God may have to speak to you more than once to get you to see what he's saying. And when Paul spoke to this demonic apostle, the Bible said for the whole 2 years in Rome, no man troubled him. He was able to go out to and fro under his own power in the midst of Satan's headquarters, the Roman Empire. Let me get back to this now. It says, verse 8, unto me, who am least than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We need to start talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ and stop talking about the certain riches of sin. The unsearchable riches of Christ is free from sin. And so we need to start preaching righteousness and no longer preaching sin. Because if my life started when Jesus became sin, and he destroyed that life in 3 days and brought that life to non-existence, to where God can no longer remember my sins, if I confess Jesus as Lord, then my life actually began that I live now. When he came out the tomb, glory to God, I came out with him. I came out as him, and so did you. And if you're living a life from that point on, there's no more sin. There's no more consciousness of sin. Matter of fact, my father was so amazing that he condemned sin in his body, Jesus' physical body, so that the body, the physical body, the senses would no longer have power over you once you became born again, to control you to go back to sin. So that the word of God is true. It didn't say when you sin. It says if you sin. See, when we preach righteousness, we're preaching a perfect target, a perfect bullseye. And if we hit righteousness every time, we hit the bullseye. When we hit sin, we're not in the bullseye. Because it's clear. He says God was all the while. 2 Corinthians 7, 5, 17 through 21. Christ was all the while. And just a little bit before that, verse 14 down. Christ was all the while reconciling men or mankind to God. Not imputing, not saying, well, your sin is stopping. I'm not going to do it because of your sin. But he said, because of your sin, I'm going to do this. That's why he could say, no man takes my life. I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it back up again. He says, and verse number 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world would have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. I could say it this way, who created all things by the word, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, remember he's the head, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose. It's God's plan, which he purposed in Christ our Lord. Before the foundation, I want to just put it there. Before the foundation of the world, he says, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, gives you the definition the breakdown of the function of the church, the body of Christ. It is to make all men know that their sins have been forgiven. That you could come out of that state no matter where you are, no matter what you're in. There's a greater power. And Satan must release you. Because it is under that power. At this point, if you are sick and afflicted, and you can believe with me right now, I declare the word to you now. In the name of Jesus, every sickness, every blind eye, every ear unstopped now, every lame, get up on your feet and walk in the name of Jesus. Miracles take place in the lives of your people now. In Jesus' name. We have missed it because we have made the church about a program, about a building, about a religion. And the Bible is clear. Unless you can bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. Your tongue is in you. It's not in the people. Your tongue is in you. If you bridle your tongue in you, it's not about the people. It's about you. Then you're qualified to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. But if you can't bridle the tongue in you, if you can't bridle the mixer in you, then your religion, the book of James, your religion is vain. It's a waste. And again, we have preached. We have preached sin so much that that people are sin conscious. They need to realize that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and they can start acting righteous to do the works of righteousness, because it's God working in you. So the works are there. It's his eternal purpose. It's his plan. He ordained it. And he's looking to us who believe to be able to accomplish his will. Again, your mouth is the mixer. Your is the mixing point. Your tongue, rather, is the mixer. Your mouth is the bowl. Your tongue is the mixer. Will you mix God's word with your words, your faith? Your faith plus his words brings conception. And when conception takes place, then that thing that you ask God for, it has taken place whether you feel it. It's not about feelings. It's about knowing. And so I give God praise and thanks for you today. It says here in the fourth chapter, just read a couple of verses before we go. It says chapter 4 of Ephesians, the same book. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. This is why he gave people as gifts, men and women, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is simply this: casting Satan out, crushing his head again, enforcing what Jesus did. Because here's a simple prophetic thought. I pray that you really understand here. The purpose of the church is to preach to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. But what's the manifold wisdom of God? Is that Jesus destroyed every one of our enemies. He dealt with them by his resurrection. And Psalm 110, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the Lord, the Father, said to Jesus, the Word, you must reign in heaven until all of your enemies are your footstool. Well, let's just do some dividing here, rightly. If heaven is the throne of God and the earth is his footstool, so the kingdoms that are upon earth must become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's just the simplicity of it, then the kingdoms of this world, the earth is his footstool. For Jesus to come back, and he's coming back, whether you like it, feel like it, believe it or not, for Jesus to come back, the sole primary focus of the church. Hear me, church. Hear me, sons of God. That's why the earth is in birth pangs till now. That's why we groan within ourselves. And that's why the Holy Spirit groans in birth pangs, speaking in us things that cannot be uttered. So that when these three groanings, these three pains are completely unified in and satisfied, the earth will be free. Every enemy of God will be his footstool in the earth. Gossip, strife, confusion, death, sickness, disease, poverty. See, we could say, oh yeah, Jesus said the poor you have with you. But the destruction of poverty will free those who are poor. And he did all that. He removed the curse of the law. So the sole primary reason for the church to be and is the body of Christ, the righteousness of God, is to do what Jesus accomplished. It's like when Jesus, when the Father told them to go into the promised land, he said, I have gone before you. They didn't see him. So how many of us have not seen Christ, but yet believe him? Glory to God. God bless you. Our time is just about through. It's been wonderful being with you today. Just want to announce again, Women of Kingdom Power 2019 conference, March 29th, 30th, and 31st, the Bridgeport Holiday Inn, 1070 Main Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The theme is The Great Outpouring from Joel chapter 2, verses 28-29. For more information, call 203-888-9553 or visit us on our website at www.ctwmii.org. Remember, registration is free. Amen. And this program is partially sponsored by, in part by, Pampy's Jamaican Restaurant, where flavor meets taste. That's 1037 Albany Avenue. If you're in Hartford or you're in the state of Connecticut, go and witness it for yourself. The phone number there is 860-216-5680. God bless you.
Women of Kingdom Power 2019, March 29th, 30th, and 31st. The Great Outpouring. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, and the dumb will speak. The dead will be raised, and demons will be cast out. In the name of Jesus, come and experience the power of God. Amen.